Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Missing Frames. This is the podcast where we watch all the movies we should have seen by this point in our lives. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. Joining me for the second time is TC Padgett. Welcome back to the show, TC.
Sean, thank you so much for having me back.
Thank you for being a part of this. We're just a very thankful group.
I'd like to think so.
I'd like to think so as well.
It's a warm energy in this room right now.
It's like literally warm.
But it is, yeah, it's summer in Georgia.
Exactly. So we're going to be watching the 1979 Ridley Scott directed classic Alien, which TC has never before seen.
That's correct.
And it's the 40th anniversary this year, which is extremely exciting and something worth celebrating. And also, I want to point out that the last time you were on the show, we were celebrating another 40th anniversary for a film that was released in 1978, which was Superman. So is this a trend that we're going to have to keep going? Is
my first question. Lordy, lordy. What movies? 40.
What 1980 movie can we watch for the 40th? I don't know. Empire Strikes Back turns 40. But yeah, so that's an option. Even though we already did it.
We'll have seen that movie.
Maybe. Yeah, I feel like you've heard of that one, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that really old movie where with the walker thingies.
Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly. So Alien, I first and foremost, what is your experience as far as your knowledge of Alien? When did you first hear of it? And what do you currently know about this franchise?
I'm pretty sure my first exposure to Alien would have been toy lines in the 90s. I think there were a lot of Alien and Predator toys on shelves at that time, so I would have seen those. I had a friend who had several Alien toys, and I remember playing with him one time, I didn't know anything about Alien, so I'm just following his lead. And I was we were getting very grandiose, and I was like, we should do this kind of story. And he told me, we can't do that kind of story because at the end of Alien 3, the world is destroyed. So there's no Earth anymore. And I was like, Alien seems weird.
Well, one, I think this is a terrible friend for attempting to spoil a movie for you, but also a terrible friend because I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say that's not how Alien 3 ends. So on every account, I'm happy you're not hanging out with this person.
I may have some of the facts twisted. What else? About 25 years ago that would have happened. So
what else do you know about this movie? I'm like, typically I will go into how I saw this movie and what my first experience was watching it, but I almost don't want to do that. I just want to go in I want you to go in as blind as possible without any idea of what you're in for, but that's all to say. I want to know what else do you know?
I'm only mostly blind, I would say, when it comes to the first movie. I know a couple of things that happen and transpire just from cultural osmosis, I guess. Being alive in the world, you pick these things up. So I know about things like the android is one of the crew members,
right?
And the corporation is bad, surprise surprise. That kind of thing.
Okay.
But I'm aware that this movie's influence is far reaching.
Yes.
So I imagine there are things I know about Alien just from having seen other things that pull from Alien, but I wouldn't, I don't know what I don't know in that regard.
What I will tell you is I saw Aliens first. So I came back to this one after Aliens had been well established in my life as one of my favorite movies. And without spoiling or revealing anything too much, I will say Aliens is directed by James Cameron, and it's very much a James Cameron movie. This is directed by Ridley Scott. I believe this was his second or third feature. It was his first huge movie. But before this, I think he'd done a period piece called Duel. I'm going to look that up real quick because I'm not 100% if it's actually a period piece, but I'm pretty sure it is. And so the idea, Duelists, so that was 1977, a couple years before. And yeah, it's a historical drama film, feature directorial debut of Ridley Scott. So very not at all sci-fi movie. But what happened was, this is 1977, Star Wars is a huge hit for 20th Century Fox, and they are like desperate to get another sci-fi movie out ASAP. And apparently the only script that was immediately available to them was Alien. So they're like, oh, let's just do this. And one of the best stories about people who went to go see Alien is they're like, oh, great, another sci-fi movie. Awesome. And the reactions to the film leaving the theater were pretty entertaining. And we'll talk about that after we watch the movie. But if you were to guess, this is a new thing we're going to try on Missing Frames. If you were to guess what the plot of this movie is, what would you say?
I feel like I'm at a bit of a... It feels like cheating just because I do kind of know. But I think it's a crew on a ship that have an alien on board said ship that does not want nice things to happen to them.
Okay, good.
Maybe a bit of a cat and mouse game going on there.
And are you excited to watch this? Like, is this something that you've been really wanting to see, or are you only doing it?
Funnily enough, I haven't seen any Alien or Alien related Predator type stuff. Okay. Anything. The one movie that made me the most interested in this whole series was actually Prometheus.
So I've seen Prometheus.
No, I haven't. Oh, okay. Of course, I haven't, because even movies that I'm vaguely interested in, I don't typically go out of my way. I typically have to have them thrust upon me.
You feel like you've already done your part. You're like, I'm interested in that, and therefore I've done my part, and you don't need anything else.
It's
from
blessed
me.
Just to have my vague interest. Yes. But the I think just the themes that I've heard about in Prometheus interest me. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually very excited to see Alien, because I feel like it is a pinnacle piece. It's a very important milestone in cinema, or so I'm led to believe, and I want to be part of that. So even 40 years later, I'm coming in.
We
ready.
Are about to find out if it holds up, so let's get to it.
Now available to own on video cassette.
And we're back. TC, how do you feel?
Sean, that was a great movie.
Well, great. I'm glad you liked it.
I'm probably the first person to ever say that about Alien.
Nobody else. This is a divisive movie. Nobody likes this.
It's very indie film.
So I didn't want to tell you beforehand because I wanted to gauge what you knew about it without having seen it. But did you realize it's basically a horror movie?
Yes, I have that impression.
Gotcha. That's something I like to kind of... Because I think the most mainstream version of Alien, or this franchise that everyone's familiar with, is Aliens, which is... there are definitely strong elements of horror in it, but it's very much an action thriller. Like, it's basically... like people are probably out there saying, no, let him find out on his own. But Aliens is basically an action movie, whereas this is very, like... very terrifying,
suspenseful. Yeah, for sure. I was suspenseful. Prepared somewhere along the lines. I've picked up that Alien is the suspenseful, quieter movie, and then Aliens is the more bombastic blockbuster movie. So.
Right. And what's crazy is they both are amazing. It's an argument amongst film fans. Like, people can kind of figure out what type of person you are depending on which one you like more. But really, they both have so much to love about them. It's very hard to pick. Now, I saw Aliens first, as I said, so I went back and watched this one, and again, I didn't want to reveal my story of the first time I'd watched this, because it reveals that this is indeed a horror movie. When I first watched this, there were points in the movie where I had to get up and watch it from the other room because I was so uncomfortable watching it. And I'm pretty good at picking out, I've gotten very good at picking out jump scares and when something will pop out in a horror movie. And the problem with Alien is that the entire movie is so damn quiet. And it had me so on edge. Because usually what happens in a horror movie is, like, it's usually pretty loud and rambunctious, and then it gets quiet. And then you know that's when the scare is coming. But this whole movie is so quiet. And it got to the point, especially one of the best examples was Harry Dean Stanton. That whole sequence I watched from the other room. I was like, I can't handle this.
It's inevitable what's going to happen. You're just waiting. And then, yeah, the suspense is terrifying at that moment.
Yeah, he walks around and he's just kind of like, oh, I'm just going to stand here and drink some water, and it's just
he's a little lackadaisical. Yes. I mean, I will say, like, he's certainly on edge, but he's taking things a little lighter than he should. I feel
well, it's funny, Star Wars kind of pushed forward this idea of the lived-in future, or not necessarily the future because it's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but the idea of the lived-in sci-fi world. And a lot of times what people were used to was Star Trek or 2001, or if it was a science fiction movie, it was pristine, clean, very like, oh my gosh, robots and the future is great. And Star Wars presented this idea of like, it's dirty, it's grungy, it's been around for a while, it's very lived in. And Alien really took its stride from that movie.
The structure of the ships, I was thinking about them compared to Star Wars, and it's certainly more, the Alien tech seems more utilitarian, less worried about aesthetics and more just about function.
Yeah.
So everything is a little more industrial and darker and grittier, I suppose. Yeah. It's the DC cinematic universe.
Sci-fi. Yeah. And that's the idea. And they're all kind of like, they're kind of, I think the phrase is truck drivers in space. They're basically all like blue collar. They don't want to do this. Nothing. Let's just get home. Let's get out of here. And that's the first half of the movie. Were you expecting the pacing to be so kind of methodical and slow?
I kind of was. I knew we weren't going to like just get right into it. And I was really happy, though, with the way the movie started and got everyone acquainted with the cast members, like just having them all out at breakfast and whatnot. That was a really good scene, I thought. And
yeah.
It's just, I thought that even though we don't see the actual alien for a while, it builds up in a very satisfying way.
I love that.
So I did kind of expect it.
Yeah, it's a lot of, it puts a lot of trust in your audience. And again, it's so funny to watch this in relation to Star Wars and to think about the landscape at the time and to think about people desperate for a big sci-fi movie going into the theater to see this and being absolutely horrified. And that was the reaction. Like people, like especially the chestburster scene. So much of this movie depends on, there's no way you can go into this movie not knowing about certain things.
Oh yeah.
But like the chestburster scene, people were like throwing up and like fleeing the theater. Mm-hmm. Like they were just like, we can't handle this.
It's,
we're done.
I certainly knew about that scene, but actually watching it in the context of the movie, yeah, it's something else.
It's horrifying. Yeah. And I love that so much. And I think the other thing that doesn't hurt the movie, but it's just the reality. At the time, nobody knew who Sigourney Weaver was. And Ripley is not really the main character. She's just the one who survives the movie.
At first, I suppose. It's watching her become the sole survivor is a lot of the fun I had of the movie, is watching people not listen to her and then die.
It's very satisfying. And very, I mean, what's the subtext there, do you think, TC?
Listen to the woman.
Listen to the lady. That's exactly right. You do also have, but you also have the other extreme stereotype of like the shrill, like screaming, like what do we do?
Who hired Lambert? I suppose she's on a commercial vessel. She's not here for military purposes. She's not used to this.
To be fair, she's not used to aliens chasing her.
I was wondering about the alternate universe where Lambert is the sole survivor and how screechy the next two movies might have been.
One thing I love about this movie, and have you seen Blade Runner?
I have not.
Oh, that would be so good. We've already done that episode, but that's the one we'll have to watch. But so this was like Ridley Scott, this launched him, and his next movie was Blade Runner, and they are both very similar in that they are like visual masterworks, like in terms of the visuals. It's so exciting just to watch the opening, as quiet and as somber as it is, just the camera moves and like everything, the way it's paced is so brilliant. And I love the way the movie looks. I love the lighting and I love the set design, mm-hmm, and the production design.
100% agree. And I was taken by it at pretty much the whole movie, the sets and the mood, the darkness of it all. It really works.
Yeah. And you don't even see one thing that's different. And again, it's tough, and it's going to be so much fun to watch Aliens with you at some point, but or to hear your thoughts on Aliens.
Whenever that
I'm
movie
assuming
turns 40.
We're watching this together.
Until it turns 40.
Yeah, it'll turn 40 when I turn 40. We were both released in the same year, 1986. So it is a completely different mood. This movie is like gothic horror, and Aliens is just action blockbuster, like you said. And it's tough. Whichever one I'm watching at the time is my favorite.
Mm.
It's very hard to it's hard to pick. My preference is maybe Aliens for certain things, but Alien to me feels so perfect in what it's trying to do and the mood it's setting. And especially around, like I said, this is the first time in a long time I haven't watched it around Halloween, but it's very much a Halloween watch for me. So it's typically I'm gearing up for the season, I'm gearing up for fall, and I'm gearing up and watching scary movies. So it's strange to watch this now during the summer, but it's still, it puts me, like, it depends on what mood I'm in, really.
Do you know what year the actual, like, John Carpenter's Halloween was released? What year
it was
that?
The year before this, I think, 78.
I always to hear that movie, and I have seen that movie, yes. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
I always hear that kind of as the codifier of a lot of what slasher films became.
Yes.
And I wonder what influence, if any, it might have had on Alien, but if it's such a close timeline, it might not be.
It's tough, because what probably happened is my guess is they were shooting this in 78. It was released May 25th, 1979. So they must have been shooting this in 78. So what probably happened is Halloween came out and they saw it, or they'd heard about it. And it just kind of, it's a slasher movie. It's almost it's in the same vein as Halloween, except it's a big budget.
And it has the final girl cliche,
exactly.
Which Halloween also kind of helped codify.
So there are a lot of things that, Alien, it's like it has a lot of tropes, like you said, the final girl, and it's like everyone gets killed off, and there are moments, it's funny when it's like, yeah, we can't separate, all right, now you go this way and I'll go that way, and it's like, oh, they're gonna die. There are a lot of like standard tropes, but
gotta save the cat.
Yes, you've gotta save the cat.
Very important in this life-threatening situation.
Right.
And I'm not, I say that as a cat lover, but also as a man who loves being alive.
You can't love cats unless you're alive, basically. I don't know. It's very, very interesting, this entire franchise. Everything, every movie is different.
Yeah, I feel like this movie doesn't have franchise written all over it.
No.
But from what I understand, Aliens certainly, it's more apparent there that they have something and that they're going to launch it. And like, I don't think, to bring it back to when I was discovering Alien by looking at the toys and I don't think this movie would have released a toy line.
No.
But Aliens certainly would.
Yeah, exactly. What happened to the good old days when like R-rated movies would release toys to entice kids?
But
Aliens, Terminator 2. There were like a bunch of movies around this time.
It's like, I'm not allowed to see this, but play with all the toys. Yeah.
It's perfect. Yeah, one of the things that really stood out to me, like you said, the pacing, the mood of it, the
lackadaisical. It's just, yeah, the very,
it's a word I want to use this entire episode.
I think
episode.
Particularly Harry Dean Stanton and Parker, whose actor's name I don't know, but you pointed out he was the big man from
What
Is
His
Name? And I got very excited.
Kodo, I think. Yeah, hold on, I'm looking it up. It's Yaphet Kodo, and he was in Live and Let Die, and the cast I think is great, because they are so grounded and believable. And the movie takes a lot of pleasure in these kind of long sequences in which they seem to be improvising.
I wondered.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
It's like movie dialogue, you typically, no one's talking over you. It's line. There's certain, especially Parker was talking over everybody.
Yes, it's something Spielberg does really well, where it gives it this natural undercurrent. But it really helps because these characters aren't necessarily like, we don't know much about them. So everything that we know about these people and everything we like about them has to come for the performances. And they're all, with the exception of Lambert, they're all relatively likable. Like they're, and even I guess, Lambert, just because she's so shrill, but also Ash. Did you know Ash was the robot?
I did. Okay. I didn't remember, because I know in the other movie his name is Bishop.
Yes.
And it's like a similar thing, except he might not be a bad guy.
Right.
And then, yeah. So I knew it was Ash. It would have been better to go in not knowing that, but he's clearly shifty. It's the fact that he turns heel is not a surprise when it happens.
But I love the cat. It's amazing because it's all these people who are huge stars now. Sigourney Weaver, this is her first thing. John Hurt, who is magnificent in this film and gets the glorious pleasure and the glorious privilege of being the first chest-bursted individual in this franchise. Mm-hmm. It's really, really, frankly, I think he should be.
And doesn't he do it again in Spaceballs?
He does. Yeah. They cast pretty him good to play the role in Spaceballs. I think he doesn't he go like, oh, not again,
not
or
again.
Something like
that's
that.
How I knew it was the same guy.
It's so good. But one of the things I wanted to ask you is, in terms of the horror moments or the thrilling moments that really got you, what was the first moment where you were kind of like, oh no, this is gonna be that kind of movie? I know you kind of knew it was coming, but was there a moment that first kind of was like, yeah?
Maybe when the face hugger gets Kane in that scene, and then when Ash defies Ripley's quarantine order. It's just the classic just denial of reason that yes. any horror movie has to be birthed from, I guess.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's
I do like that they justify it by him working for quote unquote the company.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a lot of it could be like,
well, there's plausible deniability because he's trying to save a teammate's life ostensibly.
Yes.
And then he's not the only one that wants to. Dallas wants to save Kane's life that way. So, and you kind of get a good idea of the characterizations of all these people you don't know just on that alone. Like Dallas knows the rules, but he wants to save his friend instead. Lambert is cautious and Kane is just like, well, we came this far.
Yeah.
He's a little more daring. Forward. Ripley is more cautious and authoritative, and Ash is just very shifty. And you get all of that sort of in those moments.
Immediately. Yeah. I love the facehugger. One of the first scenes that I was really uncomfortable watching was the scene where they are in the little room with Kane on the table and they're looking for the facehugger. That was the moment where I was like, this stupid movie knows exactly what type of person I am and knows how to trick me, because they spend the whole time looking around this room. And there are a couple moments where it's like, oh, it's there, and then it's not there. And I'm like, just let me – like the moment where Ash has his little poker and he goes into that corner, and the way it's shot, you think the very next thing is it's going to pop out at him, and then it doesn't. And then you're like, I don't know what's happening. And then it jumps down and grabs Ripley.
And they casually knock over a trash can in the corner, and it's gotcha.
I know.
I was hoping that wasn't scripted, that he actually just knocked it over, but it probably was intentional.
Well, it's funny. Watching it with you, it was – we were cracking jokes about it, but it is very like everyone is so understated throughout the movie, which adds to the believability of what's happening. But it is funny, like that moment in particular where he just goes, sorry, and like shrugs. Dallas just kind of shrugs. He's just like, I'm just good. I love that stuff so much.
And I love that it resisted the urge to have a love story. I feel like if you did this movie today, Dallas and Ripley would be an item, and it would be like a big thing.
When he dies,
exactly.
Dallas, no.
And I much prefer it as them just being teammates.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Were you on board from the beginning, or what moment really won you over?
I think the opening shots of the ship I was really impressed by, and then just the pans over the set of the ship interior. I really liked those. I liked the landing sequence a lot, actually. Like just to see this big hulking, unattractive ship, quite frankly, with what looks like Christmas lights under it. But I bought it. I bought it 100%. I loved the set that they were landing on. It was great.
And this movie's 40 years old.
I know.
And it looks amazing.
I think, with a few exceptions, it looked great.
There are only a couple moments that, if I'm going to nitpick this movie, don't work as well. And the main one is the Ash sequence when they chop off his head and he starts running around. And then,
I actually really like, I was really freaked out by his flailing.
I love it so much. But having seen it, I'm like, oh, there are things about this. There's one cut when they're adjusting his head on the table, and it's a very clear cut. They do not hide the edit at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear. There's a mannequin head, and they cut to Ash, and it's like, oh, that's now Ian Holm.
And it's even freakier that he's dripping that white liquid, which you see him drinking earlier in the film. I don't know
that
what it's supposed to be.
I never noticed before. Yeah. I saw that this time, and I was like, oh, wow, now it makes sense. What
it
is that?
It's foreshadowing if you know what's going to happen, but the fact that they're astronauts, they could be eating and drinking all kinds of weird stuff. I wouldn't just question
they're
it
crazy.
If I saw it. But The other moment of real good horror that I was totally on board with was Dallas in the air ducts. Yes. I knew that's a scene that I've seen parodied in The Simpsons primarily, but it's still like, despite years of references and parody, that scene still has a lot of power.
Yes.
With the exception of the dude in the alien suit.
Right.
Where he just sort of pops up. And it might be the best view you get of the alien in the whole film, almost, in terms of lighting. So it's disappointing that he doesn't look as cool as he could when he just sort of comes up and it's like, brr.
I love that. That moment, that was a great moment that, the first time I watched it, despite my like sneaking around and thinking I'd figure the movie out, that moment got me. And it still gets me just because the way it's cut together is so like, rah! It gets me every time. I love it so much. And I love that you don't really see the alien in this movie a lot. I think Jaws before this and this movie really cemented it, but like, great horror is even better when you don't fully understand what it is you're fighting, mm-hmm. and the audience can kind of imagine it, and as a result, it becomes more terrifying. What you're imagining tends to exacerbate the horror of what's going on.
I definitely agree.
Yeah, and that's one thing you could take away from Aliens, is that all of a sudden they're all over the place, and since it's a big action movie, you lose the impact of that kind of like, what is this? I don't know. And I think I love about this movie. And H.R. Geiger, do you know H.R. Geiger?
Yes.
Are you familiar with him?
Yes.
So he designed the alien. This guy is so terrifying, but he did that, and I'm pretty sure he designed the ship that they find the face huggers on, and everything you see on there.
Like the giant Supreme Leader Snoke body.
Yes. Yeah. Which there are, we mentioned Prometheus in the first half of this mm-hmm. episode.
And they clearly had the whole lore written out.
Of course, absolutely. Prometheus tries to answer a lot of questions about Alien that I don't think anybody really wanted answered. That ship being one of mm-hmm. the questions. Prometheus I don't like Prometheus. It has its fans. It's nice to see Ridley Scott kind of returning to this realm, but I don't think he could improve upon what he accomplished here.
One of the reasons I didn't see it was because of people like you saying, don't see Prometheus, it's terrible. But also, I think it was a good thing in the end, because seeing Prometheus before Alien would have, I think, robbed me of some of the magic that this movie has.
That's what I love, is a lot of great sci-fi, great stories understand that it's like, you're kind of painting a picture. You're putting something out there like that alien. It's like, oh, what is this? We don't know. It's just a ship. Where did it come from? I don't know. To me, it's like, if someone says like, well, here's exactly where it came from, here's what it was trying to do, I'm like, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. I don't need to know. It kind of creates the idea that this world is grander, or this universe is grander than what we're actually seeing. So for a movie to come along and then try to explicitly explain things and origins.
Well, this was actually episode 4 of the Alien saga.
Yes,
Prometheus
it
being
is.
Episode 1.
It's Prometheus is episode 1.
It's a real hero's journey.
It's a great. What else caught you off guard about this movie that maybe you weren't expecting or took you by surprise?
The likability of everyone was pretty good. The cast had me caring about pretty much all of them. And I was expecting a few ciphers, kind of. Like, horror movies tend to have a couple of people that just don't matter as much, that they'd kill real quickly. I guess Kane kind of serves that role here, but he's way more fleshed out than I expected to be. I liked everybody. I liked that the ship felt real in a lot of ways. Like, I bought into the world they were in, and I expected it to be a lot smaller.
Yeah.
But then you see it from the outside, and they're essentially flying in like 4 castles
through
space.
Well, I love the scene where they're going through, like, the acid is dripping through, and it's like, we gotta find it, and they're just kind of going mm-hmm. lower. But what that does really well is it kind of presents the idea of like, oh, this ship is huge. There's so many levels to it, and there's so much going on here. The other thing I like, I don't know if this is a theory out there that I might have read and I'm just stealing it and pretending I came up with it, but does the ship feel kind of haunted to you?
Haunted.
Like it's an actual, like, haunted ship. There are little things in this movie that aren't explained, and I almost feel like there could be like a theory on Reddit somewhere where someone's like, the alien, the Nostromo is actually a haunted ship. There are ghosts on it. And there are a couple things that happen. One of them is, and this is totally a mistake, but I love the way they kind of ingrain it in the movie and make it work. So when Ash is going crazy, when he knocks Ripley on the ground, she's like laying down and he's kind of looking at her. The camera moves around him. And then something jingles and he looks like he's caught off guard. Like, what's that noise? And he looks over and there's like a little, I don't know what you call it, but something hanging from the ceiling that is moving around. It's very clear that the cameraman bumped into that thing and there's no reason it should be swinging. And so, but they left it in the movie. And I think it's such a cool thing. But part of me wonders, like, that moment, and then there are other moments where you can see things like, in the opening scene, like one of the helmets is kind of moving a little bit. And in a later scene, you can see things kind of moving. And part of me just like is like, someone out there has got to have come up with some.
Maybe it's Mother. Mother is a spirit Mother's living the ghost in the ship.
The Nostromo.
That was something I didn't know about, was that they would have kind of that.
An AI,
basically. Yeah.
I love the. It reminds me a lot of 2001.
I was having a few moments where I was reminded of 2001. A lot of the tracking shots and pacing. The landing, the pacing, the quiet of it.
That's right. And I mentioned it in the 2001 episode I did with my wife Sarah, but Alien was a movie that got me prepared to appreciate 2001: A Space Odyssey. I saw this first, and the pacing of it was something that I think I would have appreciated 2001 otherwise, but I think Alien kind of opened the doors for me to really kind of understand the beauty of kind of patient filmmaking. And it's like, we're not going to just bombard you with things. It's going to be kind of like slow and you're going to get settled into this mood and then we're going to throw you off course. But I do love Mother as an element, and I love the moment where he's just asking like, what are my chances? And it's just like, does not compute. The coldness of that, and the coldness of this company that we don't learn much about in this movie.
Yeah, they don't name them, do they?
No, it's just called The Company. Mm-hmm. Like, they just say The Company. And I love, there's only, Mother is a demonstration of that. That order, I think it's 937, where it's like, recover the alien. The crew's expendable. That's one moment where you get the feeling of like, oh, whatever this company is, they kind of suck. This is terrible. But then the scene, there's an exchange between Dallas and Ripley, where she's like, what are we doing? And he's like, you do what they tell you to do. Mm-hmm. And there's this idea, again, I don't need an explanation, a detailed explanation of what this company is, why they are the way they are. That to me gives me, it's the same thing as the alien ship. It's like, that gives me everything I need to know. Like, there's some sort of, the world they live in is not necessarily a happy world.
Yeah.
And it's run by corporations. And
it was interesting. I wondered, when Dallas said that, you know, I just do what they tell me to do, essentially, I wondered how the company picked the crew for this mission, because clearly they wanted a particular task done.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, is he kind of the person that is like competent, but he won't rebel or think for himself. So they're like, oh, he's perfect to be the captain.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's the kind of thing that, you know, I wouldn't want that answered for me, to your point, but it's fun to imagine.
No, that is cool. Like, they kind of predestined them in a way, like, this crew, we're going to send them off on some BS mission, and really, we've picked them all because we know.
These jokey mechanics that clearly nobody cares about. Sure, whatever contract you want, we'll give it to you.
I wish Harry Dean Stanton had been Ripley, and then this movie franchise would have been all about Harry Dean Stanton.
I would also be into that.
But I love Sigourney Weaver so much. There's so much. This movie has such great documentaries. Like, the Blu-ray has such great in-depth documentaries that just talk about, like, Sigourney Weaver. She was a stage actress, and she was so out of her element and uncomfortable. And Ridley Scott would kind of manipulate her at points to get like certain reactions from her. One of the best ones that's in the movie is when Yaphet Kotto and they've just killed Dallas. I think this is before Ash goes nuts, but she's kind of, now she's in charge. So I guess this is right after Dallas's death, mm-hmm. but she is talking about like, oh, I'm thinking about what the planet, like, just leave me, I'm thinking. And he kind of starts like jabbering away at her. And Ridley Scott felt like she wasn't like taking charge enough. So he's just like, just start like making fun of her and like saying stuff to her that like really pisses her off. And so the moment where she's like, would you listen to me? Shut up. And she's screaming at him. He's just, that's the moment like that he kind of pushed her to get.
That's pretty great.
But the movie's kind of slow, and then it sort of switches in the third act to just crazy like panic insanity, like we've got to get off this ship. Was that effective to you? Did it feel jarring at all, or how do you feel about it?
I don't think it was jarring. I think it was a controlled chaos. There wasn't constant panic or constant just things happening. There was still long moments of suspense, like even when she's trying to get off the ship before it self-destructs, she's having to look around corners.
Yeah.
She can't just run straight
she's
to the shuttle.
Get the cat.
She does have to get the cat. That's extremely important. He's the true star of this of this film.
One of the other things that really impressed me, like you said, the movie is so simple. Like, it's like from a plot perspective, it's not that complex. And at the end of it, when she's just running around the ship, this is the reason I asked, because the third act to me, it's almost amazing how it's like, all right, well, everyone's dead. And now it's just like, we're going to blow up the ship and we got to run it. And the last like 20, 30 minutes of the movie is just her running around.
And that final scene where she finally has to try to kill the alien
one-on-one
in the shuttle, that was pretty amazing.
Did you know, you knew it was on. You knew the movie wasn't over.
Oh, I had some suspicions. Yeah.
It was like, and this is going on too.
It would have been great to just fade away with her, like, I got you.
You,
and then the movie just ends.
Yes, that would have been great. You just know it's, I always
her singing,
yeah,
that song.
Oh, I love that.
It's so good.
I love
such a good touch.
It just it well, it humanizes her, but just as an undertone to this horrific stuff that's happening, it's so good. And I do love whenever a horror movie. This is another trope. Again, this movie is full of tropes, but because of the talent behind the scenes and in front of the camera, you never notice it, but mm-hmm. it's another trope that it's like, oh, they got away. Everything's fine. Just kidding.
Yes.
Here's the alien again. That still works perfectly. And that's another great jump moment for me that always gets me, is when she's kind of looking and then the hand comes
the
out
hand.
For her.
That was great. It reminded me of when you go to kill a bug in your home or something,
yes.
and you don't quite get it. It's just sort of like
around
looking at you. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's there. And you know it's injured, but you can't quite capitalize.
Right.
You just have to, you know, be a victim in your own home.
So is there anything that didn't necessarily work for you, or things that disappointed you about the movie?
At first, I was afraid that it was going to be Sigourney Weaver, because I thought her initial scenes, her acting was very wooden.
I thought.
I was like, is she the android? I don't know. But her scenes later on, once things escalate, she carried.
Yes.
So I had no problems in the end. It might be a situation where Ridley Scott had to get, you know,
I think that was part of it.
Yeah.
I think she was so green.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, I don't know if she'd done much screen acting, but this was like her first big movie. And I think a lot of maybe the awkwardness came from that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, in the first part of the movie, a lot of the woodenness I take from just the fact that they're all kind of like, meh. It's kind of the vibe of the movie that I love so much. And it really settles you into this world.
I suppose they have been frozen for a long
They've
time.
They've been frozen
maybe
for a while. She's still waking
very
up.
Very stiff. Yeah.
Yes. So, but that's fantastic. I assume you're very excited to watch the other ones in the franchise, especially 3 and 4.
Sure. Don't think I'm going to go straight there.
No. I think you should absolutely.
I'm
going
to go to Alien versus Predator.
That's the one I was going to recommend. You should definitely watch Alien versus Predator. That's the watching order, the way the filmmakers intended. Alien versus Predator. Don't even watch the first Predator. Come back to that later. Mm-hmm. It is funny that those movies have, I think, zero connection. I think it was a comic book or a video game that brought them together. Do you know
Alien Predator?
Yeah. Do you know the story of how they got brought together?
I think it was, yeah, a comic. I think it was Dark Horse.
Yeah.
They got the rights to both. They put them together and it's like, brilliant.
Brilliant.
Now everybody will fight everybody. RoboCop will fight Terminator.
What I hate about it is Predator, it's the same thing. The movie Predator is a standalone action movie with this really iconic monster in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a standalone horror movie with a really iconic monster in it. And then because of that, It's like it became Alien versus Predator. And I guess that's my next question. Were you, you kind of said you kind of knew what you were getting into going into this, even though you hadn't seen it. But is it weird to think about Alien now, having seen the movie, in the context of like these big, ridiculous sci-fi action movies?
I don't think it is, just because that's the way it's been my whole life.
Right. Okay.
Like when I hear Alien or Aliens, I picture the franchise and the giant, I guess it kind of became.
I think Aliens is a little more like, oh yeah, I believe this could have become, like it spawned what it did. This one feels so, it feels so in its own realm almost, that to it, I feel like Ridley Scott had the full intent of just making one movie. Clearly he only made this one. Well, no, he came back and made Prometheus, but it really, this was going to be the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't make another one for 7 years, and James Cameron came and he did that one. But this feels to me like a very, one of the, I think what I'm trying to say is one of the great things about this franchise, disregarding Alien vs. Predator, disregarding Prometheus and Alien Isolation, or not Isolate, that's the video game, Alien, whatever.
Resurrection?
The later one was that,
I don't know,
Ridley Scott directed, that was also terrible, and it's a sequel to Prometheus. There is Covenant. Alien Covenant. Mm. This is not good. But this franchise, the first four, the original films, are all made by a different director, all with a very specific style and visual sense. And I love that about these movies. Even 3 and 4, which I don't like at all, and 4 in particular is really abysmal. It's great to see how many different styles can work within this world. Alien is a very much a horror movie. It's very stylized in that way. And then Aliens is a big action movie. 3 kind of brings it back to this horror element. And then 4 is a comic book, I guess, kind of. But they're all different flavors. And but I prefer the second one for personal reasons, partially because it and I were born in the same year. But I also, I love this movie so much. I think this is one of those movies that I would dub as perfect.
Yeah.
So
are there things you didn't like about it, just to follow up on your question to me?
The first time I watched Alien, I really enjoyed it. I really loved it. And I think I was thrown off a bit by the fact that the second one is such a rambunctious action movie, and so like has these big hero moments, that the first one I was thrown off almost by the fact that it's just like, just get off this ship and survive, and that's mm-hmm. your big hero moment.
That reminds me of having seen Terminator 2 as a kid before I saw Terminator 1. I feel like it's kind of similar.
Like, and it's funny that James Cameron did that too. Terminator, he wanted to direct Aliens, but they were like, let's wait and see how your movie does first. And then when Terminator was a big hit, they were like, all right, great, make Aliens. It's funny, though, that you bring that up. It's absolutely the same feel. Mm-hmm. Terminator 2 is like big, huge. Terminator 1 is, it's got big action and stuff, but it is more of a horror movie.
You're not selling a toy line solely based on Terminator 1.
Exactly.
You need to wait till Terminator 2, and then you'll have so many action figures to sell.
No, exactly. And I think the same thing with that franchise. There are people who are very specifically, I think the first one's the best, and people who think the second one's the best. And it's very similar with this franchise. But I would love to see how you react to the second one at mm-hmm. some point. My cat is named after...
We do need to bring that up. Yeah.
That is something people always ask. My cat's name is Ripley, and they're always like, oh, like, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not. And I'm like, no.
Why would you go there first?
Who am I hanging out with? Who are these people?
And then, of course, the influence of these movies on the Metroid series is something I'm familiar with.
Oh, so. For sure. There's so much.
I feel like a lot of my the stuff I expect from this movie just comes from Metroid.
And it's funny. I don't think about that all the time, but it's true.
Even just landing in the original game, the very soft soundtrack.
The sound design, the sound design, all the little beeps and boops, and mm-hmm. all the little, I love the sound design in this movie. Everything about this movie from a cinematic standpoint is brilliant, and everything about it on any other level is brilliant. That's really all I have to say about Alien. I can't believe it's 40 years old, because it looks fantastic, and it's better than so many of the movies. It looks better than Alien Covenant, whatever. Well, I guess the last thing. So I accidentally name dropped Alien Isolation, which is a video game that's based on this, where it's like Ripley's daughter goes searching for her. Do you know anything about it?
I do not.
It's pretty good. It's too long, but it does a really great job of capturing the look and feel of the Alien franchise. I think more than anything, it does that. But you basically, the alien is, its movements are not scripted. So you're trying to survive and escape and do your thing while this alien is just randomly popping out and searching for you. And if it finds you, it kills you. There's like very little you can do to stop it.
It is the perfect organism.
Yes, it is. So I love that. And, again, as much as I love Aliens, I think Aliens kind of robs Alien of that threat. It's kind of like, this thing is terrifying. And in Aliens, it's like, well, you could always just shoot it. It's like, all right.
I'd want to see a movie with just a bunch of ashes coming after you, spitting white liquid and trying to shove magazines that, down your throat.
That is the dream. And there are androids in Alien Isolation that chase after you. And
excellent.
It's exactly what you wanted. They're not Ian Holm, sadly, but I think you can't win all of them. But all right. Well, on a scale of 1 to 5, what? Joneses, 1 to 5 saving cats.
Chestbursters.
1 to 5 chestbursters. How many would you give Alien?
As grisly a scene as this would be to see, I'm going to go the full 5 chestbursters.
All right, perfect.
It is an amazing movie.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I would give it 5 as well. And we should absolutely do Aliens at some point. Mm-hmm. We don't have to wait till its 40th anniversary, partially because that's a little whiles to go, and also because it depresses me to think of being 40. So yeah. I don't want to, we'll get to that later. But if people want to reach out to you, TC, if they want to pick your brain about your feelings on watching this movie or wanting to watch Prometheus or anything else, where can they find you on the internets?
On Instagram, I'm at TC Padgett. Probably not the best way to send messages, but it works.
It works.
It's where I'm most active. That's where I would recommend people go if they're interested.
And I'm at Sean Dorman on Instagram, at Yay Sean Dorman on Twitter. And you can also follow the Nerd Party at Join Nerd Party and like the Nerd Party page on Facebook. That's the network that Missing Frames is a part of. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to give us a 5-star rating and just chat with us and say hello. Let's celebrate the 40th anniversary of this wonderful, wonderful movie. And this is Sean and TC of Missing Frames signing off.